miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith. Welcome to this segment of To My Brother, I'm Muhammad. And today, I'm going to read to you an aphorism of Imam Ali from Nahjul Balagha. Before that, let's go ahead and listen to the Arabic words, and after that, I'm going to read you the English translation. Stay with us.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: متى أشفي غيظي إذا غضبت؟ أحين أعجز عن الانتقام فيقال لي لو صبرت؟ أم حين أقدر عليه فيقال لي لو عفوت؟
Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam used to say, "If I am angry, when shall I vent my anger? When I am unable to take revenge, and it be said to me, 'Better you endure,' or when I have power to take revenge, and it be said to me, 'Better forgive.'"
Welcome back, dear friends. It's an honor to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Now, one of the great lessons which we learn from Imam Ali alayhi salam is the importance of the Holy Quran, not just as a book in it of itself, but also the importance of the Holy Quran in our daily lives. Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him, endeavored to collect the Quranic verses more than anyone else after the departure of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. Abu al-Mu'ayyad has reported that Imam Ali alayhi salam once said, "After the departure of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, I made a vow not to put on my cloak, my abba, unless I will collect all the Quranic verses. As a result, I did not do anything except after doing so, that is, collecting the Quranic verses, due to the great task I had undertaken." And so, dear friends, Imam Ali taught the interpretation of the Holy Quran to the people as well. And Ibn Abbas was distinguished among all the other companions and people for learning the interpretations of the Holy Quran, and it was Ibn Abbas who used to go to Imam Ali alayhi salam to learn the interpretations of the Holy Quran. And so, dear friends, we learn truly a profound lesson in this, that the Quran needs to play a very important role in our lives. And for all those who look up to the Quran, let them know, whether they are Shia or Sunni, that it was Imam Ali alayhi salam who compiled the Holy Quran, who collected the Quranic verses, and rather it was Imam Ali who was there when the Quran was being revealed to the Holy Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. A beautiful lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, about the personality of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib this means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيا قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم إني أسألك الأمان يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم
Oh Allah, I ask you for the protection of the day when property will not avail, nor sons except he who comes with a heart free from evil.
وأسألك الأمان يوم يعض الظالم على يدي يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا
And I ask you for protection on the day when the unjust one will bite his hands, saying, Oh, would that I had taken away with the messenger.
بالنواصي والأقدام
And I ask you for protection on the day when the guilty shall be recognized by their marks, so they shall be seized by the forelocks and the feet.
وأسألك الأمان يوم لا يجزي والد عن ولده ولا مولود هو جاز عن والده شيئا إن وعد الله
And I ask you for protection on the day when a father shall not give any satisfaction for his son, nor shall the child give any satisfaction for his father. Surely the promise of Allah is true.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Now we invite you to listen to Brother Hassanain Rajabali.
Imam Ali used to wake up in the morning and go to work. Early in the morning. Early in the morning he goes and feeds the poor. Early in the morning he goes and finishes his dhikr and goes and works. Early in the morning he starts till he comes home. But late at night, having finished his duties, his social duties, there are people in our community who are married, who are fathers, who don't even work and support their families. And they claim to be lovers of Ahlul Bayt. How can you be a lover of Ahlul Bayt if a man doesn't go and earn his living? That's the Holy Prophet once, I remember a history, story. These stories are something that should be in our heart. These are the actions of the Quran, where a man comes and shakes his hand and it was rough, the Prophet kisses it. He was a farmer. And the man says, "Oh, Ya Rasulullah, why did you kiss it?" He said, "This is the hand that brings halal living. This is the hand that goes and works and earns a living. This is the hand of a person like Imam Ali alayhi salam." That he goes to work and he refuses, he gives his duty, he distributes, that he comes home with meager amount of wealth only to sustain his family. But no member of his family ever complained. No member. Yet they had an open door policy where people would come to their homes and Imam Ali used to feed the people. Look at the story. That Maythama Tammar is being held by Ibn Ziyad, who wants to execute him, and says, "Why do you love Ali ibn Abi Talib? Why do you follow that man?" You and I in the same shoes, brothers and sisters. There is much to say. He says, "Why do you love?" And Maytham looks at him and says, "If you can find me someone better, I will follow him." What an answer to Ibn Ziyad. "If you can find me someone better, then I will follow him. Do you have anyone better?" And it's logical. If I have something lesser and better, you're a fool to follow lesser. So Maytham is using logical arguments. Subhanallah, what wisdom. At the moment of your death, when Ibn Ziyad has captured you, where you know your time is coming, where you know you're going to be put on that stick, where you know you're going to be hung. Allahu Akbar. That kind of love, you cannot compare it with any other relationship.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The Heavenly Lady.
Ya Zahra, Ya Fatima. Ya Zahra, Ya Fatima.
A special program for the occasion of the birthday anniversary of Lady Fatima Zahra.
Ya Fatima. Ya Zahra, Ya Fatima.
In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello, dear brothers and sisters. I'd like to welcome you to the program, The Heavenly Lady, a special program on the occasion of the birthday of Lady Fatima. I'd like to specially congratulate the women, especially mothers, on this very holy event. And I hope you enjoy this program. And until the end of the program, please be with us. Don't go away.
As-salamu alayki, ya binta Rasulillah. Ya binta Rasulillah. As-salamu alayki, ya binta Nabiillah. As-salamu alayki, ya binta Habibillah.
Ya binta Habibillah.
As-salamu alayki, ya binta Safiyillah. As-salamu alayki, ya sayyidata nisa'il alamin. Al-awwalina wal-akhirin.
Congratulations on the birth anniversary of Lady Fatima al-Zahra, which coincides with Mother's Day in Iran. Fatima, the daughter of the Holy Prophet of Islam, was born in Mecca on 20th Jumada Thani. The good and noble Lady Khadija and the Apostle of Allah bestowed all their natural love, care and devotion to their lovable child, Fatima, who in her turn was extremely fond of her parents. Islam has prescribed different roles for men and women. Men are the breadwinners, while women are the nurturers. Neither gender is superior to the other. God says in the Quran, "I will not diminish the deed of any person, be it male or female. The one of you is from the other." Chapter Ali Imran, verse 195. Both roles are complementary and facilitate the smooth functioning of a family unit. On account of the sacrifices a woman makes and the difficulties she faces in nurturing children, a mother is bestowed with an exalted position in Islam.
Concerning motherhood, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him and his progeny, said, "Heaven lies under the feet of mothers. Fatima is a female created by Allah to be a sign of His marvelous and unprecedented might. For the Almighty Lord created Muhammad, peace be upon him and his household, as a sign of His might among prophets, and created from him His daughter, Fatima al-Zahra, to be a sign of His ability to create a female possessing all moral excellence and talents. In fact, the Almighty bestowed Fatima with a vast share of greatness and a high level of majesty, which no other woman can ever claim to have reached. She is one of the prominent people close to Allah, whose greatness was acknowledged by heaven before the creation of mankind, and this has continued to the present point and till the day of resurrection." Okay, throughout history, a lot of people were oppressed, but a group that have always been oppressed were women in general. For instance, from the time of the Prophet, poor baby girls were buried alive because they were considered a disgrace to their families. Even some scholars didn't consider women as humans, and women were considered to be the second sex or the inferior sex. They didn't even have the right to own a property. In response to all such oppressions against women, the movement of feminism was formed. This was concurrent with the era of modernity, so many factories were built, and so they needed cheap labor, and women suited that purpose. That's how women entered the labor force, and with this movement, they also had better chances for education, and gradually, the presence of women increased in the society, and now we can witness the active role that they play in universities and, in general, the workforce. To make the long story short, a woman's value and ultimate goal is to act like a man. Some women have even objected as to why they have to bear and bring up children. So we can see in some Western countries that men also get paternity leaves. Just as women have maternity leaves, men get to have paternity leave. I mean, men and women want complete equality, whether physical or emotional, you name it, they have it. It's an honor for me to announce the presence of our dear guest in our program. We have Mrs. Rashida Hanif in the studio here with us. She's originally from Toronto, Canada. She's a very good mother and wife. She has a BA degree in arts and history and also a bachelor's in education. And welcome, Sister Rashida. Welcome to our program, The Heavenly Lady. If you would like to say something at the beginning of the program, we are here with you.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to be with you. Could you please, since you were in Canada from the beginning of your life, and you've studied there, and you've been in universities, and grew up in that society, could you tell us a little bit about the status of women in that country?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Women in the West consider themselves to be equal with men, and really, in any situation where they find a difference, they are quick to rise up against it and try to diminish any difference that might be apparent between men and women. So they consider themselves to be just the same. The thing is, we say things can be equal. You can be equal but different. We say this in Islam. But in the West, when women consider themselves equal with men, it means they want to be the same as men in all aspects of their lives. So we find that women are outside of the home just as much as men are. They are in the workforce, and this leads to many problems that women face.
Mm-hmm.
Women are asked to be super women, to be super moms, because if they are working outside of the home, they still have to come home and take more care of the children, take more responsibility than men do for the children. And this means they have to be superhuman to perform all of these tasks. And it leads to a high rate of divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And subsequent to that is that you have many families where there is only one parent, many single parent families. And children need two parents. This is the way God created the family, to have two parents. And one parent running a family puts a lot of stress on the children and also on that parent. And unfortunately, many mothers or single mothers caring for children and working outside of the home, and it just leads to negative results in all aspects.
Okay. In addition to what you said, I would also like to add that in our country, in the Islamic Republic of Iran, it's a Muslim community, and people claim to be Muslims, men and women, but we see that women in Iran are, you know, trotting in the same footsteps as women in the West.
This is very true. This is, the West is leading the way. The
exactly.
West is leading the way, and everybody else is following, unfortunately. But this is not the Islamic pattern that we have. This is not the model that Allah has laid down for us. But everybody thinks that in order to show yourself as progressive, we have to do everything the way the West does it.
Okay, so, you know, this simply shows that we have either not understood Islam, you know, the pure essence of Islam, or the fact that Islam doesn't have anything to offer. Which one of these is true?
Well, I think the fact that people think that Islam doesn't have anything to offer, people think that way, and it is also true that we have turned away from the pure essence and the pure teaching of Islam.
What is the pure teaching of Islam? What does Islam want, you know, from women? What does Islam want from families?
Islam wants that we recognize that Allah created men and women and that we are equal, but we are different. Mm-hmm. We are not the same. We are equal in His eyes and in the sight of Allah, we are equal, but our roles are different. We have different roles to perform in the society, in raising a family, in living our lives the way that would please Allah.
Okay.
We have different things to do, but it doesn't mean that one gender is lesser than the other.
Okay. You know, it's a well approved fact that Islam has a plan or specific details for all aspects of our life. In regards to the role of women in Islam, does Islam offer any, like, role model? Does Islam provide any conditions, you know, that according to that condition, women can reach, you know, like a very high status in terms of like materially and spiritually, you know?
Well, we have many role models in Islam that we can look at, and we can see how women should conduct their lives.
Mm-hmm.
We have Hazrat Khadija, who was herself a businesswoman. We can see that Islam does not say women have no place or no role to play in the workforce. In the economy. We see that. We have
right.
Hazrat Khadija as an example for us in that area. We have the holy daughter of the Prophet, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, and we can see from her life what women can achieve. Also, our holy Prophet tells us that she is the leader of the women of all the world. I cannot think of any religion that has set forth a woman as a role model for all women for all time. There are good women in all religions, but none of them have been promoted by the proponent of that religion as a role model for all women. And we have Hazrat Fatima Zahra as the leader of women of all time.
Zahra, ya Zahra, ya Zahra, Zahra, ya Zahra, ya Zahra, ya Zahra, ya Zahra, ya wajihatan 'inda Allah, ishfa'i laha 'inda Allah, ya wajihatan 'inda Allah.
done that has turned her into a leader of all times. I mean, this is a very big claim, you know?
Yes.
The women in, you know, this world and in the other world.
Well, we can just look at the various aspects of her life and we can pattern our lives on that. Mm-hmm. She was a simple woman. She was a mother. She was a daughter. She was a wife. And these are roles that are available to all women. If we said that if she were an astronaut, if she were an eye surgeon, these would be things that all women cannot achieve.
Mm-hmm.
But she was a very simple woman. Every woman can achieve these things. We can perfect ourselves in these things as a good mother, as a good wife, as a good daughter. We can all accomplish these things. And then the way she conducted herself, we can learn from these things as well. And she was not just a simple woman, but she was a simple woman, but that was not all. She was not an ignorant woman. She was a well-learned woman.
Mm-hmm.
Women came to her to ask her questions about the way they should conduct themselves, about Islamic teachings and so on, and she could answer them. She could answer them perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we can see that from her life that we can achieve all levels in the society. You know, Islam does not restrict women to any one aspect. When the occasion arises, when it is necessary, women can stand up and speak. Hazrat Fatima Zahra also stood up and spoke. When her right of the property of Fadak was taken from her, she went to the masjid and spoke out against the caliph. She was not afraid to do that. She went to the battlefield to help tend the wounded, to take care of the soldiers. She wasn't afraid to do that. People in the West tend to think that women should just, you're either outside of the home working as a man, or you have to stay home in the corner and do nothing but wash dishes and sweep the floor all day. Doesn't have to be like that.
They have gone into extremes.
Yeah. You know, women are versatile. We have our different roles to perform, different to men, but when the need arises that we must take a stand, that is perfectly acceptable in Islam.
There's a big difference between the fact that when the need arises, you act according to the need, but, you know, on the other hand, we have women who are always, you know, in the society, you know, it's like, it's as if the need has always arisen for them, you know?
That's because they have forgotten other roles and other needs. If you are always out there in the society, always out there on the street or in the workplace, you are forgetting a whole lot of other things you need to do,
yeah.
Like take care of your children. And children do not just need food, they need nurturing. They need someone to talk to them. They need mothers, parents to play with them. They need to be able to discuss things that happened at school. They need care. They need love.
You know what? A lot of women, either Western or Eastern, they think that nurturing and, you know, bearing children is like an inferior role. You know, it's like, well, you know, we want to have the power to go outside and to be in the workforce. We want to be managers. We want to be doctors. We want to have money. We don't want to be mothers, you know, in the home taking care of children. You know, they think that the role to take care of children and raise children, this is like an inferior role that does not even count as important.
That is unfortunately true. What can we do? You know, that is because they just look at men. Men have become the role model of women.
This is the pain. I mean,
we are built, we are made. Allah made us to have babies. Allah made us to take care of them. We are more sensitive and emotional and loving in a certain way than men are. This is our role, and we cannot deny this. It's no use fighting it. This is how Allah made us. We have to celebrate it and not just look at men and think that what they have is better than what Allah has given us.
Right.
But we need both to make the society a proper place for us to live.
You're right. You know, God has bestowed different physical and emotional qualities to men and women, and with the mixture of these two roles, we can, as you said, make ourselves, you know, step toward making ourselves perfect,
right,
and make a better society.
That's right.
So I can conclude that Fatima is a lady who, as mankind advances in the understanding and realization of facts and secrets, the greatness of her personality will become more apparent, and the deep meanings and characteristics of her actions will be more appreciated. She is Fatima al-Zahra, alayha salam, whom Allah praises and is satisfied with her satisfaction and is angered when she is angered. The Messenger of Allah, too, commends her nobility and meritorious personality. In the same line, Imam Ali looks to her with respect and admiration, and the holy Imams of Ahlul Bayt sanctify and venerate her. Her father was the best teacher of humanity, morality, Islam, and the unity of God. She learned a lot of things from her father and her husband, Ali, peace be upon him. She gathered them all and with the help of her husband, wrote a book named Mushaf Fatima. Okay, dear listeners, I hope you enjoyed this part of this program, the special program for the occasion of the birthday anniversary of Lady Fatima. You're here with us with the program, The Heavenly Lady. We'll continue the second part of this program with our dear guest, Mrs. Rashida Hanif. So stay tuned with us.
Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha bi'adadi ma ahata bihi ilmu.
Welcome back to the program, The Heavenly Lady. We are with you with our dear guest, Mrs. Rashida Hanif. I'd like to continue our discussion, but before we do that, I'd like to just read some names of Lady Fatima. They're very nice. The first one is Siddiqa, meaning the honest, the righteous. Al-Batul, the pure virgin. Al-Mubaraka, the blessed one. Al-Tahira, the virtuous, the pure. Al-Zakiya, the chaste, the unblemished. Al-Radiyatul Mardiya, she who is gratified and who shall be satisfied. Al-Muhaddatha, a person other than a prophet that the angels speak to. Al-Zahra, the splendid. Al-Zahira, the luminous. Okay, Sister Hanifa Rashid, welcome to our program. Heavenly Lady, we are talking about women in the West and the problems they've had. And also, Mrs. Hanif said that in Islam, we have a very good role model that women can follow to achieve a very good spiritual and material position in their society. And that there are several examples, Lady Khadija, Lady Fatima, Lady Zainab. And you specifically talked about Lady Fatima and the different roles she played in the society of that time, the role as a mother, the role as a daughter, the role as a wife, the role as a leader, you know, sometimes the role as a teacher, the role as carrying sermons in the mosque when needed. Women in the West, they want freedom, and they fought for it, and they got it, okay? But has this freedom made them happy in their life? Are they happy with what they have now, with their current status in society as mothers, as workers, as teachers?
I don't think that material things make anybody happy, you know. We all think that if we had more wealth, we would be happy. If we had a bigger house, we would be happy. If we had a better job. But these things, they do not satisfy.
Mm-hmm.
And even if women achieve more recognition in the society, it is still not enough because it doesn't answer the basic needs that we have. And that basic need is to perfect ourselves in a spiritual way, perfect ourselves and our relationship to God, and to perfect ourselves as human beings, which means fulfilling our roles as human beings, fulfilling our roles as women, as in a biological kind of way. I think women are nurturers. They are nurturers innately.
Mm-hmm.
And our role is to nurture our children and to help our husbands and to perfect our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. These are the basic things. And if we fulfill these things, women will achieve some level of happiness in their lives.
So you're saying the reason that women have such problems in the Western society and even in the Eastern society, because we're following them, is because we haven't paid attention to our inborn characteristics.
Yes.
To our nature.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. And if we follow the call of our nature, then we know where we really, truly stand.
That is correct. And we will find satisfaction. We will find fulfillment.
Okay. According to our nature and inborn characteristics, we want freedom.
Yes.
Okay. What is the limit or the boundaries that Islam has defined for Muslim women? How much freedom should we have? I mean, I have the picture of the freedom of Western women, you know, in terms of everything.
You see, women want to do the same things men can do. Men can go out without a shirt, so they can...
Women want to do that too.
But that is not freedom. Freedom is to find your place and to fulfill your role that you were made for.
Freedom, I think, you know, is that true that freedom means peace of mind?
And when you do that, you will find peace of mind.
Exactly. As a result of the true freedom, you know, true freedom, yes, you get peace of mind.
People think that freedom is just the lack of restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
But freedom is not the lack of restrictions, because there are restrictions in everything. There are restrictions in every aspect of our society.
Right.
If you decide that you are not going to brush your teeth, you suffer the consequences of that. You will suffer tooth decay. You can be free to
whatever
go to bed
extent
at night, don't brush your teeth, but you suffer the consequences. The consequence is that they will fall out. They will hurt and they will fall out and you won't have them anymore.
Right.
Is that freedom? No, that is acting foolishly. Everywhere around us in all our lives, we have restrictions. We have a framework in which to live. And the best framework that we can follow is a framework that Allah has provided for us, the framework that our Creator has established for us. And Allah does not say women can't do this and can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Women are nurturers and providers, and women work together with their husbands to build a society, and we perfect our relationship with God.
Right.
And that is the framework in which we live.
Okay.
If we have to work outside the home, then we do that. But we don't think of that as the ultimate, the end goal of our lives.
That's just the means.
Just a means towards doing all the other things, providing for our families, and also forming that connection with God.
Okay. The most important role of a woman in her life, what do you think that is?
You know, I can't say it's necessarily bringing up children, because all women don't have children.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say it is necessarily being a good wife. All women aren't wives, but one thing that all women can achieve is perfecting their relationship with Allah.
Okay.
I think that would be it.
We're approaching the end of our program. Mrs. Rashida, if there's anything, any final comment or any final point you would like to add, we're here. We're pleased to hear.
I'd just like to add a bit of ziyarat, or a prayer that we can say for Hazrat Fatima Zahra.
Mm-hmm.
Peace be upon you, O leader of the women of the world. Peace be upon you, O mother of the proofs of Allah upon mankind. Peace be upon you, O oppressed one who was prevented from obtaining her right. O Allah, send blessings on your servant, daughter of your prophet, wife of the successor to your prophet, and bring her close to you, closer than your most honored servants from among the heavenly creatures or from the earth.
Thank you very much. It was beautiful. We really enjoyed it. Dear listeners, I came across a point which is a little bit surprising, and that is the fact that the true date of Fatima's martyrdom is a subject for discussion among Muslims. Some say it was 40 days after the death of her holy father, some believe it was 75 days after, and some say it was 90 days, and some believe it was 95 days after the death of her beloved father. There are some who also believe that Fatima died 6 months or even 8 months after her illustrious father. But among the great Islamic scholars, there's an agreement that Fatima died 90 days after her father. Some say that her grave is in the Baqi Cemetery, and some believe that her grave is situated in her own little house. We pray that Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra take care of all of us, poor sinners, and that she would be willing to intercede in our favor. May God hear her intercessions for us and forgive our sins, and let us enter paradise. Peace be upon you, O daughter of the Messenger of Allah. Peace be upon you, O daughter of the possessor of outstanding merit above all prophets, messengers, and angels. Peace be upon you, the knowledgeable one, you who had an authority over the traditions of the Prophet. Peace be upon you, you who were subjected to anger and oppression. Peace be upon you, O Fatima, daughter of the Messenger of Allah, and may Allah have mercy on you and bless you. Okay, this is the end of our program, dear listeners. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much, Sister Rashida Hanif, for being here with us in our program. We really enjoyed your presence. And
it was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure for us, too. Thank you for being here. Dear brothers and sisters, I hope you enjoyed listening to our program. I hope that we can step in the same way, in the same path that Lady Fatima stepped. Take care of yourselves and goodbye.
يا زهرا يا فاطمه يا زهرا يا فاطمه
السلام عليك
يا زهرا يا فاطمه
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Nasser Rafi'i. Please stay tuned.
الانسان همانا انسان خلق الانسان من عجل آیه صحیحش اینه خلق الانسان من عجل
In ayah 37 of Surah Al-Anbiya in the Holy Quran we read Man is a creature of haste However, in continuation of the same ayah we read So do not ask me to hasten Now, one might ask Isn't here in this verse a contradiction? From one side, human is created from haste, and from the other side, humans are asked not to hasten. The main question here is, how a human who is created out of haste must not hasten in his actions. The best answer to this doubt is that Allah has created humans with haste and many attributes like anger or sexual desire, so that He uses them in the positive way. For instance, if there was no haste, no one would try to overtake others in doing good deeds or helping others with their needs. Thus, haste, like any other thing, can be used in both positive and negative ways. It is like a knife with which one can peel the fruit skin or hurt others. Or it's like a hammer in the hands of a blacksmith who beats the iron to make something out of it. The very sense of haste is exactly like this. It is necessary for humans. However, haste has its own timing, and we are not allowed to hasten in all our efforts. Thank you very much, dear listeners of iRibe English Radio, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Nasser Rafi'i. To find out more about this program and our other programs, log on to our website, parstoday.com/en/Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care, and goodbye.
This is Bahman, the month which reminds us of love and empathy.
Bahtizi, 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 ey shahidon rahe khuda, ey karde bahre ehyay haq jan fada.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 49 meters, 7,300 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.